So first of all, I'd like to wish everybody a happy new year. Today is 1st January 2022. It's a Saturday. So how you all feel after almost 2 years? New beginning. Do you all realize the chanting is different? You can actually understand it so differently. That type of collective chanting when we do together, even after almost 2 years, you realize this thing has become like more stable, more strong, the vibration, everything. And it seems like you very naturally can come back into it. That is very important. That is what you do frequently, consistently. So even after almost 2 years, you can still fit in very easily. Then everything like very naturally coming back, and it will charge up your faith and your understanding. Then you can feel the vibration at your heart area with the faith. That is how it will activate your nature. Then it will make your heart open up. That is how cultivation is to be done. That's why for real cultivator of the way, no matter how long, they may not be exposed to Dhamma or what. But the moment their nature hear all this truth or Dhamma, that nature will connect. That's why you can understand. Just like this life, when I came to University of Malaya, the first day I met Kesri Dhammanana, then I went back that night, I meditate, then my mind went in. For 4 hours, I was meditating. But that was the first time I do my meditation without knowing what is meditation, and yet I went in. Then later on, I decided to visit that Brickfield Temple. Then while I was driving my motorbike there, I still remember upon approaching the Vihara, I heard the Pali chanting. Then I was asking myself, what is this? So familiar. And I sat down very fast. Then even the Mahayana teachings, the chanting, my nature naturally can understand and receive them and follow the recitation. All this points towards what happened in the past. Otherwise, this nature cannot. That's why what you do consistently with understanding, this will be your inheritance. And when you can do this together with the Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card, you stabilize all this understanding. In future, even without the sasana, when you come, all this understanding will be there. You can pick it up. It will come to you. So this is what you need to understand. Whatever training you have put in does not go to waste. But you do it through memory, through knowledge, through repetitive chanting without understanding, then it does not help you. Then later on, when you come, you may be familiar with all this, but your faith is different, because that faith is faith in repetitive training or repeating all these things. Then it's like you feel good when you're together in a group doing the chanting. But if you have cultivated with understanding, this chanting will give you the faith, the understanding. Then you will open up your nature. Then you will receive truth. It's very different. That's why thought-based, knowledge-based repetitive type of cultivation will not bring forth the understanding and the awakening. And when you do not have the understanding, you cannot cultivate according to what the Buddha wants you to develop as the Dhamma that he has taught us. So if during your normal day-to-day life, you also cannot understand this teaching to that depth, then the very simple question is, how can you understand them after this life? So this is what cultivators don't realize. For you to develop the understanding of what you have cultivated and developed through an understanding, you must make aspiration, affirmation, you must have the faith, contemplate, reflect, cultivate until it's very clear. Until without the book, without the note, you understand what this thing is. Unless you stabilize it this way, it will not follow you. It will not be within your nature. When you awaken, when you have stabilized all this understanding, then it is part of your spiritual nature, your true mind. And that true mind no need memory. When condition come, in future when you come, you need condition to connect. The moment you connect, you inherit. And all this come back to you, the understanding, everything. So this is what my nature would like to share with you all. Yeah? This Dhamma sharing will be very different, very interesting as from now, because the last almost 2 years of pandemic, our Zoom sharing, we actually make a big difference to the understanding, because the first sharing was the Heart Sutta. We took 8 months to go through instead of 8 days, 8 to 9 days at the retreat. There is a big difference. And because of that, a lot of people gain understanding, very deep understanding, especially Po Cheng. She progressed very fast. And many other Kayamitas do. And after that, because of the Kayamita force, a lot of things happen. Then the Bodhisattva way also take off. Many Kayamitas actually start doing the daily religious routine. They decide to take the vows. They decide to recite the Bodhisattva way type of cultivation. Because that yellow card, although just 4 small pages, they are the essence of the cultivation. The first card is to teach you how to stabilize your understanding in future. So you make aspiration by invoking power of merits for causes and conditions for you to have the following right views, which are very important for cultivation. Kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Kama niyama is a big topic, the law of karma. That is how the advice of the Buddha comes about, because in his 5 daily contemplation, the last one, he said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So if you don't take care of karma, your life will be entangled. You will get into a lot of trouble and situation. So because of that, the advice of the Buddha is to avoid all evil, to take care of karma, to cultivate wholesomeness wherever there is condition, following Noble Eightfold Path. Then purify the mind to develop the meditative awakening. Then after that, the three types of right view, very important. It will spin off the understanding of the subsequent essential Dhamma. That's why we all recite how we can develop the understanding of the five aggregates of form and mind, the two aspects, so that we can cultivate. Because the final summary of the first Noble Truth is regarding this five aggregate of form and mind. The Buddha said, in short, it is due to your grasping, clinging, and holding on to this five aggregate of form and mind via Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion, that it conditions suffering. Means the upadana khandhas are dukkha. So when you understand this five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects, especially the first and second aspect, then you know who are you, what are you, and that this form and mind is not what you think, it's a karmically conditioned form and mind for you to come to live life. Then the second aspect is how your mind functions, how you function as a human being following paticca samuppada, the thought process, the content of consciousness. These are all connected to the teachings. Then after that, you recite the universal characteristic, the five aggregates, rupang anicang, rupang anatta, vedanang anicang, vedanang anatta. Then you repeat vasanya sankara vinyanang. Then sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. So develop stability of this understanding and vow to have this right view and right understanding life after life whenever you come. Or you have to come or you choose to come. Then right view with regards to the law of mind, the dwelling, you must go through it. How the paticca samuppada is to be understood moment to moment within the instant. Then how to apply all this teaching. Then when it comes to the third right view, Dhamma Niyama, basically Dhamma, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is a four noble truth, truth that can make you noble one, so enlightened one. So the three turning of the four noble truth under Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta is what the Buddha actually reminded the monks and the cultivator of the way. That even him, as a bodhisattva at that time, he has to understand this four noble truth in his three turning or the 12 mode in order to qualify himself to be an enlightened being or Sammasambuddha. So what more sentient beings? That's why these three turnings of the four noble truth, you must stabilize it, develop the clear understanding, so that life after life you come, you will know how to have this right view, right understanding. Then cultivation becomes very simple. Then you will also know you have two minds, the true mind and the mundane mind. Then of course the three hallmarks of winning, no thought, no mark, and no dwelling. All this stabilize it so that when you come, you will be able to receive all these teachings. Then how to have the other type of aspiration or vow to break your karmic obstruction. That's why you seek forgiveness, repentance from triple jam, from all beings, and from all other karmic offense that are not included in the above two. Then after that, you invoke the miscellaneous vow. Then you take the four basic vows of a bodhisattva. Then you invoke, as a bodhisattva, when you walk this way, you will keep the three sets of pure precepts. Now, these pure precepts are actually the advice of the Buddha, but expanded. So all these are very useful, very helpful. Yeah. And if you do this, your future cultivation all taken care of. Yeah. These are the understanding or teaching you cannot find from other place or books or what. Yeah, this one is very seldom taught. Very few people have the understanding. So with this, I will end my sharing. So we'll continue with our second session, which is just normal Dhamma discussion.
Thank you, Brathio, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayanamitas for giving us the opportunity to have this. And really very grateful for your presence. And we hope that this year will bring the world more peace, more harmony,
Sadhu.
More good health. Actually, I really wish to thank the good condition to have this place for whenever we can have function, we have a place, you know, conducive for everyone. I would like to thank actually Sister PG for recommending me the main con. And I would like to thank our main con, Mr. Mel, who has been coordinating for this one for about 2 years already. And also the first site supervisor, Mr. Patrick, second site supervisor, Fu Sifu, so many of them, and the two Indonesian workers who has been with us for the past 2 years. Mainly the two of them has been working here. Two person from starting to knock down until today, yesterday, one of them still here, cleaning up the car porch for me. So really, we are very grateful to them, very grateful, and grateful to our subcon, Mr. Wu, electrician, subcon Ms. Aloy Sifu, the grill, Ari Woods, the furniture now still going on, Mr. Aing from Malacca, and also Hok Heng Marbles. Thank you very much. Without them, I think this would not be possible, because they arise the causes. They also part of the causes and condition. And I hope to share all marriage accumulated from this place with them, so that they have good life, they live healthy, and they can have their good life to these merits will they will accrue to them to share with them. And also I would like to apologize to the nature, to our neighbor who has been so patient with us, all those things that cause uneasy to them. I will apologize to all those that inconvenience cause to our neighbors and all the beings around here.
Sadhu.
That's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sadhu. You can also thank all Kayamita for coming to make this session possible.
Yes, thank you. Thank you each and everyone for coming. Really grateful that you make it. Thank you.
Yeah, today is like a very special, auspicious day. Formally, for the new year, we come and have this small group of Kayamitas to help give blessings and warm up for this place. So we all should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And once again, we'd like to thank Sister Paramasri Bratio for having such beautiful condition to invite us over to have this session, which is very auspicious and unique. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay.
谢谢 Bradio， 阿弥陀佛。我想要问 Bradio， 我们每次拿那个做那个四弘誓愿第一句，众生无边誓愿度。请问 Bradio， 在我们这样的现在这个 situation， like our condition as a cultivator at this pandemic time， what is the most conducive things for us to do to help the sentient beings?
Okay, good. Just now you mentioned in Mandarin the 四what?
四弘誓愿.
What is it?
The four initial basic vows.
So of a bodhisattva.
Yes. The first
okay.
one is 众生无边誓愿度.
Yeah. Okay. So that is the one you want to develop.Further understanding, huh? Okay, very good question. Okay, so these four basic vows of a bodhisattva is the one that will give you the condition to cultivate and to perfect your cultivation to be Sammasambuddha. So like you mentioned, the first basic vow is you vow to take across all sentient beingswithin the limitless samsara. Then after that, you vow to severe and endure all suffering that arise through perfecting the wisdom aspect. Then after that, you vow to cultivate and perfect all wisdom leading to prajna paramita. Then of course, finally, the fourth vow. You vowto perfect all the 10 perfection to be Sammasambuddha. These four basic vows are standard basic vows that bodhisattva must take. The meaning is very important, like I have explained before. The first basic vow, the reason for itis to create causes and conditions out of love and compassion for living beings so that you can have the pure mind to take rebirth as a bodhisattva. Where without this first vow to take across the limitless living being in this universe, you cannot have the condition to come back and take rebirth as a bodhisattva through that pure mind.Because this vow is based on love and compassion without the evil roots, without wrong thought. So for us to take birth, we need a karmic nature, which all of us have. Apart from the karmic nature, we also need a mind. Your karmic nature can only condition a form of mind to come.And normal birth process is due to ignorant avijja, that ignorant thought will condition rebirth consciousness. That's how a living being take birth under normal circumstances. So we call it birth and death, samsara, repeated birth and death. But as a bodhisattva,most bodhisattva, when you go through the cultivation, you would have perfected your mind and developed enlightenment of the sainthood way leading to arahantship. When you are an arahant and beyond, you actually will not die ignorant. You will just cease, or what they call the form and mindceases, then you realize parinibbana. Then that cessation of form and mind is what nibbana is all about. Then everything, no more. But because of your vow, it can condition a pure mind, love and compassion. And this pure mind, because it has a duty,out of love and compassion to take the living being across, it will condition what we call karmic becoming. So the karmic nature can make use of this pure mind to actually create a form of mind to come. So this form of mind that come depend on your karmic nature too. The only difference is, as a bodhisattva, you are not born with an ignorant thought. You are born with a pure thought which has love and compassion. So that is the first vow. Then the second vow is you vow to endure severe all suffering. Just to do this work, to take across all living beings, you need to have the wisdom, understanding, to enable you to endure and severe all suffering. And to do that, you must have wisdom, perfection of wisdom. That's why the third vow is to cultivate and perfect all Dhamma, leading to the perfection of wisdom. So this third vow actually connect to the first two vows. Then of course, finally, to fulfill Sammasambuddhahood, you have two vows to perfect the 10 paramitas. So this is the very basic, four basic vows of a bodhisattva. So if you take this, it will help you to develop the ability to come. But my nature realized this coming can be very long if you don't have deep understanding to speed up your cultivation. That's why the four pages, Bodhisattva vow, the yellow pages, are the yellow card that I have developed for you all, is to give you those ability. That's why you must vow, life after life, whenever you come, or you choose to come, or you have to come. You must have this right view with regards to law of karma, law of mind, and law of Dhamma. Then you must have good understanding or deep penetrative understanding of the following right view. The first one is regarding the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind. Then understanding that this form and mind is condition arising, also phenomenal. They exhibit the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. That's why you cannot deludedly attach and cling, because they are impermanent. You attach, you cling, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, it is non-self, anatta. Not what you think you are. So this understanding will enable you not to be deluded when you come, so that you won't suffer as a form of mind when you come. Then you will also have the understanding that there is another nature within, which is beyond the form of mind. That is our true nature, our true mind. Our original nature, or Buddha nature. So all these understandings are very important. Then the five aggregate of form and mind, they are universal characteristics. That's why we chant Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta. Then we repeat for Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. Then after that, we vow to uphold the three sets of pure precepts to walk the path of the Bodhisattva. The three sets of pure precepts are essentially the advice of the Buddha developed with a deeper understanding. So the first set of pure precepts is to understand clearly what constitutes evil so that we can avoid all evil. So the normal advice people talk of is to avoid all evil. But they never go a step further. So the pure precepts say, we vow to avoid all evil and understand what constitutes evil. Then the second set of pure precepts is, we vow to actually cultivate all merits and wholesomeness, leading to the perfection of them all. Means you not only cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, but you have to perfect them all. Then finally, you vow to take the limitless living being across to the perfection of all wisdom and understanding. So these three sets of pure precepts are very important because they will actually maintain your sila, maintain your understanding of the cultivation. Then after that, of course, we go to the next page, which is the detailed explanation of how you can break your karmic obstruction, how you can ask for forgiveness from the Triple Gem, from all beings, and also the third, ask for forgiveness for all other karmic offense that are not included in the above. Then after that, you can have your own other miscellaneous vow to complement whatever that we have already developed. Then after that, you take the four basic vow following the format given by Samantarabhara Bodhisattva, which is Pusen Pusa. So all this is what you need to develop as understanding. Then, like you said, under this pandemic time, how can we make use of this understanding to be of use or a blessing to all? So I have already explained, you have to understand what this cultivation is all about. The four basic vow is just the basic thing. But to speed it up, you need to know more than all this. That's why the yellow card is the summarized understanding that you must have. Then when you have this summarized understanding, you will know how to cultivate. Because nowadays, like just now I used to explain to Brother Suyan and Mifong, a lot of Buddhists, so-called Buddhists, they are taught the Dhamma in a very academic way. Or what we call knowledge-based. So if you cultivate Dhamma without understanding, you will end up having knowledge or thought-based Dhamma knowledge, which will not be useful for you to use in life because you cannot apply them. Then when you confront lives, you will still suffer because those Dhamma that you learn are very theoretical, knowledge-based, and you try to recall through memory, which is most people do. So if that is the way, then very difficult for you to actually put the Dhamma into practice. Well, the Dhamma is to be understood first. Then only you can cultivate them. That's why the first three right view that the Buddha taught are very important. Right view with regards to law of karma, karma niyama. Then right view with regards to the law of mind, citta niyama, or we call the teaching paticca samuppada, the 12 link. And finally, there is the right view with regards to truth. Noble truth that the Buddha has taught. He called it Dhamma Niyama. And of all the truth that the Buddha has taught, he summarized them into these four noble truths. Arya Satcha. These are truths that can make you noble one, so enlightened one. That's why it's called noble truth, not any other truth. Then there is a three turning for this four noble truths. You have to develop them in order to have the ability to understand the teaching. So coming back to the first right view, law of karma, how does it affect the cultivator? Why did the Buddha took so much effort and time to teach this aspect of right view? So when you have the real understanding, then you can develop clarity of understanding to put it into practice. Basically, the Buddha said, there is this five daily contemplation that you have to contemplate, where this one is with regards to life, the realities of life and existence. So is it every day as a practitioner or cultivator or as a monk, you need to reflect that this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So this is what the Dhamma is. But not to, like a parrot, repeat this, commit to memory and thinking that you know. Because when people ask, what is a five daily contemplation? Oh, you can rattle it out. But do you know the intended deep meaning of this? What the Buddha meant is, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. These are the first three contemplations. What does it mean? What the Buddha wants you to understand is, each and every one of us have a physical body made up of the four elements. And this physical body is not you, where there is no consciousness, nothing. This one goes the way of nature. That's why it's subject to change. It will go through old age. It will fall sick. And finally, it will die. Where these are realities of life and existence. This is the reality of the form. Goes the way of nature. This one is impermanent. If you attach and cling, you suffer. Because if you want this body to forever young, don't grow old, don't get sick and die, it's impossible. You will suffer. Well, when condition is such, it will fall sick. It will grow old. Your senses will fail you. Then finally, of course, it has to die. Consciousness has to depart. Then you call death. So without clear understanding and this daily contemplation, you will deludedly grasp to this physical body. Where most of us think this is what we are. We are born into this world, given a name, given an identity. Then we go through life. Then we are told this is what we are. Then there is this aspect of karma. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. And this is the fifth contemplation, the Buddha said. So when we understand that our life is almost entirely dependent on karma, what must we do? Because the Buddha said, you reap what you sow, do good because good, do evil because evil. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. So all this is about this nature's law, law of karma. So if we are born of our karma, heir to our karma conditions, supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma, which means our life depends entirely on karma, almost 99.999%. So in order to have the good life, what must you do? You must take care of karma. That's how the teaching come about. To take care of karma, the Buddha taught the three advice that he famously quote under Dhammapada verse 183, which state, sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyatapanam etang buddhana sasana. So this is the advice of all Buddha. All Buddha, when they come, they teach the same. Sabbe is all, papasa is evil, akaranam. All evil we have to avoid. Then kusalesa means wholesomeness, upasamada. Wherever there is condition for you to do wholesomeness, you must do them. Then finally is sacitta. Citta is mind. You have to purify your mind. Sacitta pariyodhapanam. That's why you must purify your mind. And this is the advice of Buddha. So you follow the advice of the Buddha means you are cultivating, following the Dhamma way. Then it will change your life. This is how you take care of your karma. So when it comes to avoiding all evil, what did the Buddha teach? That's why his first teaching is keep the precepts. Because these precepts are very important. Minimum 5 precepts. Excuse me. If you violate them, it constitutes major evil. You can check them, the 5 precepts. Whoever who breaks the precept has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And these are the 3 evil roots that make you evil, cause your coming downfall, coming negativity. That's why to keep the precept is to avoid evil. That's why precepts are very important and is mentioned under the instruction. We undertake the training rule to abstain from doing all those things. So the training rule is to develop mindfulness and awareness to be aware of our mental intention. If you know what constitutes evil, the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you must expand on it. And when you are mindful and aware of your mental intention having this evil root, then you have to abandon it through the 4 right effort, the first of the 4 right effort. Then after that, when you have stability of understanding, you can prevent this wrong thought from arising. That is the 2nd right effort. Then the 3rd right effort is to cultivate whatever right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you, so that you can transform your life, change your life, improve your life. Then finally, the 4th right effort is to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action that you have cultivated and perfect them all so that your 4 right effort will constantly purify and transform you character-wise, personality-wise, to make you a better person. Because if you consistently apply the 4 right effort, you will be able to abandon all the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action, or prevent them from arising. Then you will cultivate the opposite right thought, right speech, and wholesome speech, and also right action and wholesome action. Then you will live your life in accordance. That's why right livelihood all fall into place. And this is how you should understand it, to develop the cultivation. Then from right view, you arise the right thought, right speech, right action, through understanding what constitutes evil and what constitutes right thought, right speech, and right action. That's why Noble Eightfold Path come into place. So from right view, it will give rise to condition for you to cultivate right thought, right speech, and right action, then right livelihood. Then abandon all the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and prevent them from arising. That's why the 4 right effort also fall into place. Then you will live your life in accordance, which is right livelihood. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, is the path that lead to the end of all suffering. So understanding this is very important. Then finally the Buddha say, you must purify your mind. To do that, you need right mindfulness. You need to be mindful, aware, sensitive. You need to train your mind to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. And you add these two together, you become heedful. And Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 confirm. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So when you understand this, you know how to cultivate. Everything that people teach you, whether it's meditation or whatever, or Dhamma, if it doesn't lead you to the understanding of this and train your mind to be heedful, you should come to realize that this is not the teaching of the Buddha. Whereas the teaching of the Buddha always end up with heedfulness, leading to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So this, more or less, will summarize the initial understanding of cultivation so that you will not be gullible. Wherever you go, if people teach you theoretical Dhamma, thought-based Dhamma, knowledge-based Dhamma, then you know this is not conducive for enlightenment. This is not the Buddha's true teaching. The Buddha's true teaching is to have the three right view. From there, to be worthy of the Buddha's disciple, to be worthy of being called a Buddhist, you must at least heed his advice to cultivate accordingly, to avoid all evil, to good, and purify your mind. So this aspect, when you understand, you will not deviate, you will not go wrong. Then coming to the second right view, which is the Paticca-samuppanna dwelling, or the law of mind. That one you need mindfulness, stability of mindfulness, to see your thought process, the content of consciousness, how you actually arise as a human being, how you function as a human being, when you live life, how you become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Then when consciousness arises, what happens? What do? You tend to input the content of consciousness, which is based on your memory, which have your views, opinion, and conditioning. Your phobia, your fear, your insecurity before you're enlightened, all of the emotional negativity, the evil roots, they are all there. So if you act according to this memory, which will give rise to all the deluded thought, heedless thought, leading to suffering, then you are not cultivating it correctly. But the problem with living being is that is the only instrument they have, the thought and the memory, which are just your conditioning, your belief system, your views, your opinion, and everything that you accumulate as memory means all of your good and bad experiences in life. Like I explained just now, your phobia, your insecurity, your happy moment, unhappy moment, your whatever selfishness, craving, desire, attachment, sorrow and lamentation, all this you accumulate as memory. Then when you accumulate them, your brain becomes cluttered. Like there is no space. You look at this vihara or way place that Brother Teo and Pamasuri has constructed or designed. You realize there's a lot of space. The old house is the same layout. How come when you go in there, you don't seem to see the space? Why? Because there you have your living seti set, you have your piano, you have the dining table, you have a lot of things there. That's why this thing occupies space. And when they occupy space, you cannot move. Means there is no space to freely move and do your activity. So what does that mean? That means if your brain has all this rubbish accumulated inside there, then you don't have space. And what are these rubbish? Your pantang, your phobia, your like and dislike, your belief system, your conditioning. Like this one cannot do, that one cannot do. People say this one cannot mix, that one. So all this restrict your movement, prevent you from having space to act. So like, you don't know whether it's a truth or not, because truth, not knowing, there is doubt. Then there is phobia, there is fear. That's why our tradition, Chinese tradition or any race tradition, they can bring about a lot of suffering and misery is because of that. They will quote from tradition, you're supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that. Then that become rigid. That become what they call an authority over living being. So memory has such problem. That's why when you have the clear mind, when you have clarity, mindfulness and awareness without the thought to clutter your mind, there is clarity, there is peace, there is tranquility, stillness. There is no fear, worry, anxiety or sankhara mind state that leads to mental suffering, the conditioning and all those things. So through mindfulness, you observe, you see, you understand. If memory gives me so much problem, then what must I do? I must not act according to memory. Actually, memory sometimes, the what they call non-psychological memory, they are useful. They are useful memory. Like you must remember where you stay, how you sign your checkbook, what's your name, who are your loved ones, your friends, and other things. So these are cognitive memory of non-psychological thing. Then you can use thought or memory to learn the science, the maths, the technical thing, to study engineering, medicine, law. All this need memory. But when it comes to cultivation, you cannot use thought, because what you want to realize is the Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond mind. Then when it comes to psychological problem, which is our mental problem, again, you cannot use thought. Your thought is egoic. Before you are enlightened, all your thoughts are wrong thought. That's why you will get yourself entangled. So enlightenment, like the Buddha say, is beyond thought. So the instrument that you use to meditate must be awareness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you start with sati, mindfulness. Then you stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. It becomes heedfulness. That's what the teaching is all about. So having this understanding, you start to understand how to cultivate. You have to start with sati. To have sati is very easy. The moment there is no thought, your true mind surface, then you are aware. No need to try to be aware. No need to practice awareness. There is no such practice. If your thought is active, you are using thought-based meditation, you can never be in sati. When thought arises, you become heedless. You think a lot. So human being can do one thing at a time. Either you are heedlessly thinking, preoccupied with your thought process, and get lost in the thinking process, or you are verbalizing, chattering, creating more thought. So all this, if you can see clearly, you start to understand. What I must do is, I must have a mind that is without thought. How can I do it? I cannot suppress thought, I cannot control thought. That's why I don't focus, I don't concentrate. I develop understanding. I let thought be. Let it arise, pass away, and cease. By not doing anything, by not trying to know, my mind becomes very quiet, very still. Then the original mind, the true mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, will return. Then when it returns, you realize all those mind states that arise, could be your fear, your anger, your emotion, they are all non-intrinsic to your true mind. They are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. They arise because of your wrong view, wrong understanding. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. So you see all this, then you start to understand how you function as a human being, how your mind stir, react with every moment of sense experience. Seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought. So this is what Vipassana is all about. To develop the understanding, to insight into phenomena, to realize the universal characteristic, to realize that thought is impermanent. They come and they go. They arise and they pass away. They are not intrinsic to the true mind. Before they arise, there was no anger, no emotion. So all these are dependent originating. So the silent mind that is aware or mindful can see all this, understand all this, and develop the right view to straighten your view so that you are not deluded. Then you will develop the wisdom and the understanding through the direct seeing, the silent mind. Then that silent mind can insight into phenomena and awaken. That's how wisdom come to be. So when you want to live life, you have to act according to Dhamma understanding, the wisdom way, following Noble Eightfold Path, not through memory. That's why whatever happened in life, don't go to your memory, views, opinion, and conditioning to find answer to act. That one is dead. You have to develop understanding, wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path to act. What happened? Then the right view will surface. Oh, very likely law of karma, law of mind, the Four Noble Truths. They will give you the answer. Then when I know it's karma, it's how through ignorance my mind stir. Then like the Four Noble Truths, First Noble Truth explain the reality of life and existence, the eight conditions. Then now I know. That's why this is suffering, the Buddha say. And the cause behind is what? Attachment, craving, born of Sakkayaditi. So with all this understanding, my right view enable me to accept the reality. I don't blame anybody anymore. I don't create remorse. I don't do all those foolish things. I just accept the reality, be at peace, then I move. I ask myself, how can I resolve all this amicably so that I can move on with my life and be a blessing to all? Ah, that is cultivation. So from this right view, you will condition the right thought. So I must speak appropriate thought process. I must arrive right speech. Gentle, pleasant, and good speeches that lead to harmony and understanding. No more the four type of wrong speech. Then I must act with understanding, virtue. I don't act with negativity of mind state to break the precept, to have selfishness and honesty. Then with that understanding, I can proceed to arise the four right effort to constantly purify and straighten my view and improve my understanding so that I have this wisdom called Yoniso Manasikara, can be born of direct seeing or contemplation or reflection on the Dhamma or hearing. So when this understanding through the straightening of view arise, it become part of my nature. We call it wisdom at the moment of sense experience, or the Buddha call it Yoniso Manasikara. Yoniso is wisdom. Manasikara is attention. Wisdom at the moment of attention, whether seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought. So when you have this, no need to remember. This is not memory. This is wisdom, born of insight, born of direct seeing, born of the silent mind that understand, not true knowledge. And this understanding is not rigid. It is very, very beautiful. There is a total understanding. That's why from there, you act. When you act according to Noble Eightfold Path, it's the advice of the Buddha. Where Noble Eightfold Path is based on right view, no wrong view. Right thought, right speech, right action, no evil roots. For right effort, right livelihood, right mindfulness and samadhi. So this is how you actually cultivate. So hopefully with this understanding, you will not be gullible and you know how to move, how to develop the actual cultivation. And that is what your question is. How can you apply the Dhamma understanding, especially the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva? So I have explained the full thing. So listen to this recording. It will help you develop a lot of understanding. Then you will start to see very clearly why living beings get entangled. The only instrument in life they have is the thought process, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the memories with its views, opinion and conditioning. And that one is heedless, egoic. That one cannot free the mind. So if that is the only instrument you have, you cannot meditate. You will be doing thought-based meditation. It is very obvious. That's why whatever training or teaching that they teach you, it does not bring you to the understanding of how to develop mindfulness leading to heedfulness. That is not the Buddhist teaching. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So hopefully that explanation will be very useful, and at least this is recorded, so easier. Yeah, early on, I think a lot of Kanyamita came, including recently Jayanta, because they didn't record what I said. So they know it's very beautiful, but they cannot remember much. So they have to listen many times. So this one recorded, I think, will be useful. It can help many people. Okay? Yeah, sadhu.
Maybe just some comments.
Good.
Recent events that we have to go through.
Yes. That one will be useful.
We're very grateful for
share those experiences.
The collective sharing of merits and
Metta,
with Arjun and us. It's amazing how this collective thing can come together. You can see things going through very smoothly.
Yes.
So very grateful for that.
Sadhu.
So, I mean, the things that we have gone through, we do learn a lot. There's a lot of understanding.
Yes.
Right. Well, initial state that we were in when we hear. There's always anxiety. And
The thought immediately condition all those fear, worry, anxiety.
All these things coming in.
Yeah.
And when you do reflect on it, it's all conditioned by Some thoughts on
yeah,
state the words cancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The words
it trigger off fear. And this fear come from what? Your attachment to Minjun. Both of you. Well, you think she is your daughter. No doubt, law of karma, yes, she's your daughter. So you do your duty.
Yeah.
But ultimate truth of the Dhamma, no ma. He know you, he know him or her. So this one will allow you to free, because these are the form and mind subject to nature's law. Go the way of nature. Condition like that, things will be like that. Then your duty is to act according to Dhamma way, wisdom way, following the understanding of the teaching. Not to panic, not to fear, not to arise anxiety. Well, all this will not help you. Now, the understanding go deeper. Well, last time you hear all this, you can advise you, don't panic lah, no amount of fear, worry, and that way. But when it hit you, I saw the two of you come to my house, I understand the anxiety, the fear. That's why Bertil, at least, he said it quite well. He said, Bertil, we have a situation, that's why he need to talk to you, which is very good. Having a situation means he know there is something bothering him. But not like before he know the Dhamma, that fear and worry intensify on, until like you don't know what to do on, kuih lang gong gong, so. But at least you all are still calm, composed. That you calm because your stability of the Dhamma understanding is not there. That's why I can sense your worry, your anxiety, your fear. You like it or not, any human being, if their own children, they sure panic when I tell you. Well, this is the reality of life and existence. But this reality pertains to the conditioned world. Only the conditioned world recognizes all this, has this reality. But under ultimate truth, zhen kong, in true emptiness, there is no such thing. He know you, he know me. Even the Dhamma also don't exist. Where everything is just the way it is. Suchness. Empty. No reality. We are no mark. So that understanding will allow you to act. When you act with that understanding, then you understand. Form and mind is form and mind. Ultimate reality is ultimate reality. So under the law of karma, I got a duty. Yes, she is my daughter. That's why I taught the two of you what? Do what you have to do. Need to seek repentance, ask for forgiveness on behalf, help her to do. Then your cultivation already there, your merits, your whatever wholesomeness already there, invoke power of merits for turn around. Then I will ask Kayamita to help send metta and radiate love and understanding. Then share merit, transfer merit for your well-being and Minjun's well-being. That's why all this help. These are tangible things. The worry, the fear, the anxiety are non-tangible. And that one is wrong thought, conditioning, suffering, misery. Yeah, it makes you like worrying. Worry is lack of peace, anxiety, then the stress, the fear. All these are negativity of mind state. So now you relate to all this is through the second turning. The Buddha said this first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. How can you understand it? That's why the greatest test is when it involves your loved one, your close one. Otherwise it cannot test you. But from what I observe, I already told you, she is young, Minjun. And this thing is quite normal. I wouldn't say common, quite normal. Many ladies go through different ages, and then shouldn't be a problem. So I say, have the understanding and do what you have to do. That's how we apply the Dhamma way. That's how we can actually make full use of our Dhamma understanding to actually act. That's why when you act with Dhamma understanding, it's so different from acting according to memory. The memory is the worry first, like Brother Tim realized. Straight away there's anxiety already. That word cancer make you so fearful. Because we have seen a lot of people didn't make it through cancer. So all these are the Dhamma understanding that we can stabilize and develop it when something really happened. It's a test. Then when it hit you, you can contemplate and reflect. Now it's no longer advising others. It's advising your own form and mind. If you don't have the two aspects of Dhamma understanding, you cannot cope. The fear will arise, the anxiety will arise. Then the attachment is always there, you realize. You have that reality, you cannot say, hey, no mark lah. Mingjun is anicchang dukkang anatta. When you have this Dhamma in this conditioned world, there is a law of karma. The relationship thing is so real. It is there. That's why you can love, but don't attach. You can give, but don't attach. Understand? No? So everything the form and mind do is the duty in accordance with the law of karma. But ultimately behind, there is no reality. He no you, he no me. All these are conditioned arising, phenomena, come and go, impermanent. As real as can be, is only within the moment. Split second is day and gone. And the thought is also the same. That's why the present moment is just a moment. Split second is day and gone. If there is no mundane mind, no memory to hold on to this, then everything is empty. But because the memory give rise to conditioning that make you believe that you are the parents. There is a daughter, Mingjun. She is facing this possibility. Then the thought will project. Where the thought is egoic, has fear. Before you apply the Dhamma, it will move. And the movement of thought is what causes suffering. Where there is craving. You want things your way, which is not nature's way. Nature's way is conditioned like that, things will be like that. Means what? To me, it's a blessing in this guy because she's young. She can pass through all this. Then when she passed through all this, she understands the physical body and the health issue a lot more as a doctor that she will become later on. But this is a condition for her to understand clearly what this is all about. So that he'll know how the patient will feel when they are going through an operation and all these things. And this is what Dhamma is all about. This is where the teaching really comes in. But very few people understand this and know how to apply this. After I explain, maybe it appears easy. But when it hit, 90% all caught off guard. The worry you see manifest in your emotion, your face, your feeling.
It's true that you can never say, I have enough faith.
Yeah, cannot.
You can never say that I have enough understanding.
Yeah, unless you awaken. You awaken already.
Until you will only realize how much faith you have.
Yeah. After that thing.
After you face all this. But whatever understanding we have, it does help us.
Help a lot.
Help a lot to cope.
Yeah. Then it gives you the understanding and the joy and the faith. That's why your gratitude is there. You all appreciate life more rather than taking for granted a lot of things.
I suppose we were also quite composed.
Yeah.
As
relatively.
As more facts come in.
You
look at the real
Correct.
Situation.
Correct.
That fear that you relate to the worst case may not be
the reality. Yeah, may not be the reality.
So,
yeah.
So you begin to.
Yeah. Then you start to develop more and more confidence.
Then teaching is also not something that I'm going to apply this knowledge or apply.
Yeah.
You can never look for Dharma and start applying.
Yeah, cannot. You must have the understanding first.
It must come up from the understanding. Yes, I understand this.
Then you will know how to act.
It's automatic.
No need to panic. Just let things be. Condition like that, things so yeah. So you do your best, do your duty. That is more important.
And when the facts comes in, you know what options you have. What's the best?
Because you have clarity, you didn't panic already. Then you know how to make appropriate decision. Then you also have your contact, and Min Jun has all her good karmic conditioning because she helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
So the lecturer, everybody also, when they know his manager, they are willing to help. That's why all this is coming. You reap what you sow. If you have done things correctly, appropriately, it will create condition for others to appreciate what you have done. And this will actually manifest to help you. That's why whatever you do come back to you. If you are selfish, heedless and doesn't bother about other people, when something happened to you, nobody will remember you. Or even they remember you, oh, that lady, cannot lah. She very, very mangzang. She do this, she do that. Straight away, people don't feel that there is a necessity to help this type of people. Where you reap what you sow, you created karmic negativity in the first place. You don't have love. You don't have understanding, and you are not sensitive. So life is whether you know the Dhamma or you don't know the Dhamma. If you don't know the Dhamma, it will lead to downfall. If you know the Dhamma, it will lead to straightening of view, improvement in your life, and your whole of your human nature, character and personality will change for the better. Because knowing the Dhamma, when you put the Dhamma into practice, it will transform you as a human being. Personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise, you become different. And this is what cultivation is all about. Where you follow the advice of the Buddha, and it will lead to purity, awesomeness, no more delusion. And all this will pave the way for the good karmic conditioning to continuously arise. That's how you have the good life. It's like taking care of karma by following the advice of the Buddha. You don't have faith in this, you don't do this, you will get into trouble. A lot of people doesn't bother about life until they are involved or entangled or hit severely by the reality. Then only they seek help. Then after that, they are, what happened? How come like that one? You experienced before, no? Then a lot kena until very serious already, like Jayanta brought on, kaulak one. Then they come only. They want to find out, what is it that they don't understand about the Buddhist teaching that can help them to apply this teaching? Because the two he brought, both also supposed to know the Dhamma. But the second one is better. But when I ask them about the basic essential teaching, they don't understand. They still act according to memory. They are fear. They were worse than Brother Tio and Pamasuri. Because they don't know what is going on. The first one told me, I remember, because anyway, no need to mention. His son, 4 years old, got some problem. So, that problem, which is mainly due to karma, got two parts. One is when he is asleep, unconscious at that time. The other one is when he is conscious. They can't understand. So the husband thought, maybe because of his lack of good karma, lack of spiritual practice that give rise to the karmic condition for him to go through this suffering because of his children. So he had a funny idea. I don't know if people tell him or he himself believed. He said, if I attend novitiate program, I will develop merits, wholesomeness, then this karma will change. My son will recover. They have this style of thinking. That's why he go for novitiate program. Shave. Do all this thing. Do you know what I advise him or not? I said, so what happened after your novitiate program? Your son still the same. Didn't change. In fact, they cannot understand what is going on. The wife was having problem. Oh, very traumatic and severe. So, both also worry. Then I say, okay. What makes you believe by going to novitiate program, you actually can cause a difference and develop the what they call change to help your son to recover and to make your karma good? I say, is it by shaving your head? By going through the maybe 2 weeks of novitiate program and all that? He said that was what he understand, what people tell him and all those things. But then I say, ask yourself a very simple question. By shaving your head, doing all these things without learning the teaching, do you think it can help you? And then only he start to understand. I said, you go to novitiate program, you come to Dhamma, it's because you want to seek the teaching. And this teaching is so unique, that's why it can help a lot of people to develop understanding, to act, and to transform your life, to overcome your life problem and situation. That's why I said, you have learned the Dhamma and the teaching and put it into cultivation, then you can have the understanding to act, to live, to overcome your problem. But how come almost everyone cannot? Because the real teaching was not taught at the novitiate program. They only go through the chanting, the what they call the usual routine, the formality. Then they got sutta class, they say. And the sutta class, according to Jayanta, he also fell asleep. Where they teach Maha Satipatthana Sutta. They read from the sutta. You know. Then I say, what is it that you learn from there? He said, not much. That's why you come to realize that what has been taught is not practical, not the true teaching. Cannot awaken people, cannot give understanding to help people understand life and actually overcome their life situation and problem. So that one is quite a classical common case. In fact, most are like that. Then the second one, almost, I think more than 10 years in the Dhamma field already, went to temple and all those things and learned a lot of things, but through memory. Because when I questioned him, he tried to recall through memory. Oh, yeah, that is the only instrument he knows. He knows quite a lot, but everything need to remember. I say, you learn Dhamma this way. It's of no use. Because the true Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time. You cannot commit to memory. Memory is knowledge. In Krishnamurti's term, is as dead as the dry leaf. You know why? As dead as the dry leaf? Your memory is what you retain, accumulate. They are the past, understand or not? Already over. But you keep them as memory, you accumulate them. That's why it's like the dry leaf that has dried. it's no longer that moment when it was as it is. So if you use memory and you don't understand what memory is, which is full of your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, phobia, all those things, then from there you act. It's not going to help you. It's going to make you worse. That's why acting according to memory is dead end. It's not acting at all, in the words of Krishnamurti. So how should you act? Well, that is the only instrument they have. You should act with understanding, which is the Dhamma way. And understanding is so rare, so difficult to come by. It's not just rattling the Four Noble Truths, three turning, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, the precept. These are all theoretical Dhamma, knowledge base. But how to link them? How to understand the purpose and reason for all this teaching? How to really develop the understanding so that you can put it into practice to be of use, to understand life? Because when it's taught under piecemeal theoretical, everything separate. So, like the second person, I think, answered, he said, they taught me vipassana. They taught me anicchang, dukkang, anatta. All the essential dhamma, you can rattle them. But what did you learn? You like hear one dhamma, there one dhamma, and all these dhamma like not related one, and even the understanding of it not there. So this is not the way to develop understanding of the teaching. You must understand the teaching as a whole, means the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Why is this teaching so important? That's why the Four Noble Truths, they don't even know what are noble truths. Truths that can make you noble ones. Because these are noble teachings that talks about the reality of life and existence, the cause of arising of suffering. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So suffering need not be. Then finally, the path that lead to the end of all suffering, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. And this is the meditation. This is the teaching. So all these are not explained, not elaborated on, not highlighted. And even the teaching of it also not there. Noble Eightfold Path, the first right view already, so heavy the teaching, so intense. But how many people know what are the right views? They use the word sitting as they are to experience the truth, the reality. All these are words. It doesn't have meaning if you don't have the understanding. So that is the reason why you will go through all this and experience all this. And like what Brother Tiong shared was very good today. Because he really confronts the First Noble Truth reality. About relationship. That's why when you have relationships, the fear of separation, the fear of that children getting sick, going through all this reality, is really, really tremendous, intense. So without the Dhamma, you really don't know what to do. You will panic. But at least with the Dhamma understanding, like Hertiu and Pamasavi say, at least they are more calm, able to take it better. Then when they start to see how the Dhamma can be applied, the confidence come back, the understanding come back. Then of course the joy also come back. Okay, this is very good.
Hello, Pratyu. What Brother Ju said is very true. Maybe I share a bit on my passing away of my sister. Sorry.
当我听到我的妹妹生病的时候，她在昏迷的时候，我其实我心里没有什么的想法，我就讲，她没有好好的照顾自己。
Yeah.
因为生病是因为我们自己没有照顾好我们自己嘛。
嗯，
然后我就跟 Bradio 讲，然后我就做我应该做。
Yeah, that's why I told you this is the reality of life and existence. Just let things be, because the condition is such. Yeah, I know the sister earlier on, they were not on good terms because that time both also don't have the Dhamma.Then later on, when Alicia has the Dhamma, then when they are very serious only, they approach Alicia. Then Alicia still do what she need to do. But like we all understand, everyone have to face life based on their karma, their conditioning. So these are reality of life and existence. Towards the end, when something like that happens, you don't expect miracle to happen. You don't expect, wow, I get kaya metta to read it. Cannot. Because this is not that kaya metta that is with us, then we can do something. But if it's under those conditions, we have to see if there is affinity, there is other.Type of possibility or condition, then well and good. Then we do our part, like what Alicia said, she just do her duty as a sister because of the affinity and all those things. Even my own mother and my own father, I knew when the blood tests come, organs have failed, but they live up to a very ripe age. My mom lived until 89. That's why I tell my brother.At that age, no need to worry about what he eat. Just ask him what you want. Then we took him out, discharged from the hospital. Then he said, Asam Laksa. We went and take him to have Asam Laksa. But that is the more appropriate thing to do. Well, my father told me in the hospital that 1 or 2 weeks, he doesn't like because of the drug they give to him.Every specialist come, give him antibiotic injection. Then he said, he take that drug, the medication and the injection, like he doesn't like all these things. And he is a sincere, he know what for. Then he keep on telling me, he said, he wants to go back to Alhasta, go home. I said, okay, let me.Confirm something. Then my sister came, I said, ask the doctor, do a detailed blood test and let me know what happened. So my sister told me he saw the blood test, the organ, most of them are failing. So I said, if that is the case, then what for? I want to do all these things. I said, we might as well get some of our brothers and sisters around, then talk to Fana. What is it that you want?Oh, first thing he want Asam Laksa. So we take him out on a wheelchair and straight away go. Then after that, he wants to go by Alostar, discharge him, and I drove him back. And I can see the joy in him when he was discharged. Then surprisingly, when he reached Alostar, he reached the home, the place where he stayed, he was very happy. Then the same day, I drove back.Then my brother called me. He said, well, I told my brother, when he's home, try to convince him to go to Penang Adventist Hospital. Well, that is the place where he had his first surgery when he was young, the ulcer. And he had told me last night he wants to make donation to that hospital, Adventist Hospital, because they saved his life and all that.And surprisingly, my brother called me. He said, yeah, the hospital, he wants to go. I said, admit him. Then he went there, he somehow tell my brother, he said, wow, we should buy one bed like that one. The hospital bed can jack up, jack down, and all those things, to have it in the house. I said, yeah, we'll buy for you. Don't worry. Then he stayed there. But when he was there, we knew because his organ failed already. We just want a second opinion. The doctor in Adventist Hospital also went through the blood test. He called us. He said, "You all better get ready. Very difficult already. Because the heart, everything, 70% is already failed. So not much you can do. So this is the reality of life and existence. That's why I said, never mind. At least we keep him in the Adventist Hospital where he like, and fulfill his wish. If he want to donate, we help him to do the donation. Then he was very happy. Then even on the last 2 days before he passed away, well, that time my brother and sister take turn to see him. He was full of joy. Then finally when he was about to die, he know. My father know. He called my eldest brother's eldest son, Chang Fa Koko. He said, "Call your papa, uncle all come. I got not much time left." So within 3 or 6 hours, he passed away peacefully. There was joy, there was wholesomeness. Then I told my mother and my brother, "Don't worry. Dad did his duty very well. And as a medical hall practitioner, he helped a lot of people. This life, he has a lot of wholesomeness. He went back to China to help the brothers, the children, everything. And he sacrificed a lot for our family and our children, my brothers and sisters." I said, "So we do what we have to do. That's why we did a proper funeral." Then my mother, as usual, had been traditional. He want to burn the paper house. So we said, "No problem, because we have to understand he's my mother of that era. So whatever she wants, I say, I'll do it for you." But the understanding is very modern, I told my mother. That's why finally the weather, the condition was such, it let her see, you know, that hiring all the normal law and all those things, burning the paper house and all, got no meaning one. And my mother quite thrifty one. Then he came to know about the bill, she jumped. She was so unhappy. Then he asked me, "You call the Tsuchi and the Buddhist one, Buddhist society one, to come, how much you pay?" I said, "No need money." They said, "Up to you." Is it like that? Next time, I go Buddhist way. That's what my mother told me. That's why after that, my mother's time very simple. Tsuchi came, they do up everything. Oh, yeah, let you continue, sorry.
When 他们跟我讲他的 organ fail 的时候，我也知道他不能了。 But then after that, 他们说过了 I think 10多天，他讲要 discharge 出来去那个 normal ward， 我也觉得不是很好。 So 我就 let things be， but then until 他们跟我讲他已经 passed away 的时候，我的 first thought 就好像 Brother Tune 讲的，哇。 I'm not going to attend the funeral because I'm going to cry aloud. So I'm not going because she stayed in JB. So the thought, you know, 讲很多故事. 然后我就 静下来，我就跟我自己讲， 因为他的 funeral 4天嘛， 所以我就跟我自己讲， 我静下来， 我就让他自己 manifest， 看我到底会去还是不会去， 因为 我的哥哥的我也是这样， 我就是让他自己 manifest， 然后我才打算去还是不去。 然后PG， I mean of course I need to thank PG and LC. I think LC said, "Being a friend of you for so many years, I think you should go." I say, "Yeah, but I'm still waiting for the condition whether I should go, I shouldn't go, you know." things like that. So I just let things be. Then they claim LC 说你应该去。Then PGU text 说你应该去。我说actually 我已经打算去了。可是我要Freddy 载我嘛，所以我就要问 Freddy， 因为 it's a long drive to us and we haven't been traveling for so many.
Yeah.
I mean so many years by you know driving down. But in fact we had a very sort of like peaceful journey going down and coming back as in because we don't have so much of this sadness or sorrowful.
Not like normal
people. We somehow stopped by to moi and see the plant, you know.
Yeah.
Because reality is what need to be done already done.
Yeah, already done.
So on the way back, we 们是很带着一个，就说 at that moment 我去看我妹妹 last。就说那个前一天他出山那一天，
对，
我就从来没有看过一个尸体，就是之前我有 fear 我不大敢看的嘛。可是因为可能是因为我的妹妹，我把她看得很清楚。我从她的头发、额头、全部眼睛，每一个部分我看得很清楚。然后我可以感受到那个 coolness of the body。
Yeah.
You know, like.I feel I don't have fear towards this dead body
anymore.
Definitely,
because when you understand, no more fear.
So it was.
And you can look at it as it is, no problem. It's devoid of consciousness. Even when they are sick with the conscience, you can sense whether they have suffering or not, you can sense. Then whether the karmic consciousness is there taking over, you can sense it. Then when the consciousness has passed away, you also know. Where the sign is very clear. No more. Then that's how you can feel the loss of heat. Heat no more. It has become stiff, cold. You can sense them.
And surprisingly, when I was there, 我去到就好像我 preempt your call， 就我的 thought 跟我讲我会哭，
yeah.
我去到我就是这样子静静 aware 四周围，我不知道我没有哭，
yeah,
我没有哭，
no need to cry.
然后 that's what 我就讲的 that's not the truth， but our thought is like no，
yeah lah， the one through the mundane mind through the conditioning keep on wanting to come out。But the understanding is there, you won't cry. Why must you cry?
Yes.
Like the Buddha said, whatever that is of the nature to be born is of the nature to die. So what has been born has already come to pass. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. 你哭来做什么？
是。
Karma 就是 karma， reality 就是 reality， 过了。就没事了，好像广清老和尚讲的，对也接受，不对也接受，不论如何都要忍入就是 follow me， So when you accept the reality, it's not about right and wrong, it's happened already. Like people ask him, why you don't grieve, why you didn't do this and didn't do that. He said, the life and the existence when you understand is, while you are alive, you do your best. 做完了，没事了。That is the Dhamma. After you have made that decision, done, means done. Why you go and worry, ayo, did I do it correctly? I could have done better. Who is saying all this?The thought, that analyze, that reason, and then it bring about fear. Ayo, say lo, mo zou dou. The reality is, you make the decision, and it's done, finished. That's why 广清老和尚 very good. 做完了，没事了。Why you want to go and think and worry about it, or create the remorse? No point. The reality is,At that moment, you make the decision, you move, based on understanding, finish. That's why 做完了，没事了。And your mind very clear. You won't go and worry, ayo, did we did right? what happened if that person come to know all this 就是你的那个 thought or what they call the mundane mind projecting, creating the doubt, the fear, the worry, the anxiety. And this is what Sankara is all about. That's why Sankara Anicang, you attach and cling, it bring about suffering. Sankara Dukkang, then Sankara Anatta, non-self. So they use the word Dhamma, means the condition and the unconditioned, they are also non-self. Even the unconditioned, that true mind, that true nature is not you. Because it is not an entity that can come out and live life. Cannot. That one is a nature. Finish. No word, nothing. That's why that true mind is not an Atman or a being or a personality. No. That one is just a nature. Finish. That it cannot come out and live life. You cannot say, hey, I got a pure nature. This nature can come out and live life. Where got such thing? Well, that one is beyond thought, beyond mind. To live life, you need a form and mind. Vehicle and a tool to come to the conditioned world. Well, this is the reality of the conditioned world. That's why that teaching, which is so profound, is very different from the Hindu teaching that believe in the Supreme Self. The super Atman, or they call it the true self. No such thing. It's a nature. It's a nature. Very good. How?
Sadhu. 然后当他们说你比他大，你又不可以送他，然后you know the。
那个是 tradition，
对，然后
不要去信那些东西。
然后我讲 OK 变性，然后我就在灵堂前跟他告别，那个就是我跟他讲，就是要怎样去，然后他的 future 啦，跟他讲应该怎样讲。讲完之后 ，of course the moment of emotion is there， but it's a short moment， 因为。毕竟是姐妹嘛，所以我觉得，可能因为我们姐妹也有，就是我们的 karmic affinity 很奇怪的，我们兄弟姐妹就是 somehow 每个都有每个，
very different.
我哥哥也是生病嘛，那我现在我姐姐也生病，所以我妹妹也生病。因为我的一个 friend， 那个 doctor 已经 passed away 了啦，他是我们的 family doctor， 他时常都其实我应该讲我很感恩，我能遇到他，我在30多岁我就遇到他，他就一直就照顾我，跟我说你35岁之后你的健康就会一直走下坡，所以你要很 take care 你的 health， but 我还是很 fearlessly 的用这个 form and mind， until 有一天他就他从来不讲我，有一天他 I think 2-3 years before 他 passed away， 他就跟我讲sorry to say you never really address your guts properly， 就是你没有 take care 你的肠跟你的 你的 body。所以我就好像 suddenly 醒过来，然后 what he says is really true。等我就去学习怎样吃东西，
yeah,
然后 plus Freddy 的 cousin 就在旁用那个中药给我调，然后我就这样慢慢学习怎样吃。然后而且可能因为我的 kami 就是那边一个 turn around， 所以我慢就好起来，所以。我就是觉得可能我的 blessing 很好，所以我也很感恩大家，感恩全部所有在我身边出现的人。来，我的妹妹，在我妹妹过世之后，我觉得我更加觉得，哎呦，真的要更加珍惜这个
form
and mind 跟周边的所有的因缘 in the way 就是condition 里面的，还有我自己的修行应该怎么样去走。哎呦，真的是不容易，因为这个 form and mind suddenly 讲是就是 cease，
so it can separate anytime。
Anytime， of course， 我很感恩 Freddy 能载我去看我妹妹最后的一次，还有就是我所 go through 的，我周边身边 很多贵人啊来装饰。I said you are a part of it, and of course, brother Joe and all the Kayamita is my 贵人。所以我的人生的转换点，所以是相当的一个很大的 miracle。而且今天我早上第一个醒来的时候，我就问我自己，哇，今年2022一月一号，然后 What is your new resolution？
Yeah,
然后我给他，
new year resolution，
然后我就想了一下，然后我就去做我的 duty。所以感恩大家，也感恩啊。
Yeah.
我们有这样的 condition 一起、
Let us rejoice.
阿弥陀佛。
萨丢 yeah, 阿弥陀佛
Brother, 因为我时常、哦、是在、睡觉、before sleep 我开那个、mini recording 在听、But most of them 因为每次一躺下去一下子我就睡下去了。Then 我 sometimes midnight 的时候会起来， then 我才去 off 掉它。And this morning 我一个 thought 就是想，我有没有听到呢？ I mean、每次一开了 I think less than 5 minutes 我就整个人 就睡下去了。 Then midnight 又起来又 off 掉、等下我想问 Virgil 就这样子、我时常这样子的在然后每次 Virgil 又想我们要 understand 他，但每次又没有听到，哎呦、
That's how I explained to you beforeIt depends on your cultivation. If you have already reached the stability where your nature has already like the gateway you have located it, then you know how to listen from there. Then you don't need the words. When you listen from there, the vibration will go in and the Dhamma will go in. So what you need to understand is don't try to know. Silent. Just let things be.But based on your explanation or sharing, you say you doze off and you become the unconscious or the subconscious and the unconscious. There is still listening, but not much. Yeah? It depends on how you sleep. If you sleep with awareness, then you are still conscious. You are still aware. Then the awareness that is aware of the vibration, you don't have to remember the words.You don't have to like normal listening. You just silent, maintain awareness there. Then the vibration will go in. So it depends on your cultivation. And most people sleep already, they become unconscious. So that one, whether you on or you don't on, no different. But sometimes that Dhamma sharing, the non-human may be listening. So it does benefit them.And sometimes they want to listen, they will condition you to on. Yeah? They will listen. Yeah. Because sometimes you can see the sign. So when you on, then when the non-human rejoice or appreciate what has been shared, the weather condition will change. Then sometimes there will be heavy rain, thunderstorm, everything. Means they want to listen. That's why when I share, when certain Dhamma come out, my daughter also know. Sometimes Chin Hao also know. In my house, they rain like anything. Suddenly, from no reason, sunny day, suddenly. Because all these are...possible, even in Cameron Highland, it happened. That everywhere I go and give the sharing, especially if it's the first day, it will happen. Like that day, the 5 or 6 of us come, it was raining too. So all this is what nature's phenomena is all about. So no need to know whether you have listened or what.Yeah, when I say you have to listen attentively to develop understanding, means the normal first turning, the hearing. Then when you listen from your heart, sometimes you can listen with the understanding. But if your nature wants you to go and rest and be aware, no need to listen to the words. Just silent awareness there and let the vibration go in, just aware.That vibration is the Dhamma already. Because the Dhamma that is taken in by the nature is the vibration, not the words. The word is for your rational understanding. Is when you want to use thought to develop the understanding, then the word is useful. Then you need the words, 文字. Apart from that, you don't need words. That's why sometimes, mind to mind, you don't need words. You can understand already there. Then that nature already received. That's why sometimes the teaching can be transmitted mind to mind. They call it 相应, mind to mind.
Pratio, 我想问一下，以前当我的就是我的 surrounding， 就是说我平时在做东西的时候，我就会把那个 chanting on 掉。可是 recently 我发觉到我很喜欢静哦。就是我 prefer silent 到晚，对对对 ，nothing at all。
The nature of no。
对对对，就是哇，你要 enjoy 那个很。很舒服的一个，
yeah.
你是在做东西，
对对对，
比方说今天早上我在吃那个豆芽，然后那个是我自己种的，然后它很多壳，所以在吃的时候，哎，我发觉到，哇，那个 silent 好舒服。
Your nature will know, you will feel very good. That's why you are off them. Then you will just be with that nature. Yeah, good, sadhu.
I thought of something because you said Alicia mentioned the silent. Then I remember recently, I attended a friend's birthday. Then she has a daughter, and then I haven't seen her family for a while. So when I visited, I updated. Even her mother also asked, "What are you doing? Come back from Singapore?" And I said, "No, I retired. I live with my parents." She said, "Come a whole sand." No, actually very nice, very peaceful. But then when I'm there at her house, I found out the environment in her house is very different. The daughter say, come, you must see my room. Then she talk nonstop. Then she says, sit there. Then she show me her toys. Then after that, come out. Then after that, she will make a lot of comment. Then talk to the grandma. Grandma also make comment. Then the family, nonstop talking one. Then I notice,哎，这个家庭没有停下来坐坐的哦，很不同。
Yeah.
It's like my family, we sit down, we sometimes sit down eat, don't have to talk. I mean, sometimes got talk 一两句，
yeah.
then 继续咬。这个家里东西还没吃完就已经喵喵喵喵喵在讲，然后站起来拿东西，
yeah.
一个人个人全部忙。
Yeah, yeah,
我讲哇，巴萨。
Yeah.
我很不习惯，好像很乱。我可能很久没有接触其他家庭的环境，
yeah, yeah.
还是没有常出去了。人就也是一样，喜欢比较静的。
Yeah. Most family actually they all chat a lot, very heedless one, non-stop, 讲话不停的，就好像 in the school the class teacher 不在的时候，哇，这边乱那边乱的 everywhere, 乱不停的，then teacher 一进来suddenly silent, 进了。That's why when you look at the world, the heedless thinking one and the one without the Dhamma one, you can see the difference. They like to be involved in the chattering.In the discussion and all those things, then most people don't have the ability to be at peace, to be aware within, to listen. They can't. That's why you come to understand the Dhamma practitioner that has the mindfulness and the awareness, they are very different. They can become very quiet, very still. When they need to talk, they talk. When they need to share, they share.But in between, nothing. Unless that topic can bring about understanding, then we will share them. But apart from that, we can just have a meal, finish. That's why you observe life, you will learn a lot of things. Everyone is different. Every coming behind every sentient being is different. Like Alicia's family, the siblings' life and her life, they are very different. Where they came from, that background, that karmic conditioning. Then you look at Jayanta Bringwan, also having a lot of problems. Then he himself with Ananda also got their unique problem. Then you can see most so-called Buddhists, they behave very differently. So everywhere you go, you see, you learn. Especially last time when the pandemic hasn't hit that time. Everywhere I go and give talk and give sharing, I always observe. Then I can feel a lot of things, I can sense a lot of things. Even the audience, the participant, the organizers and all those things. Then their temple, how they do things and all those things. So you can see. So from there, if you are mindful, observant, you can develop a lot of this. That's why the talk that I give, they also realize I base it on the condition there and then. Then I speak, and from there I start. Then I relate to what happened. And seldom you will find a talk that I share is like a person who has prepared the speech and delivered standard one. I cannot do that. So it's very different. So Dhamma is a living Dhamma. It's not a static Dhamma. You cannot just rigidly hold on to knowledge and share. If you do that, it becomes rigid. And everything is like mechanical, repetitive and all those things. But the living Dhamma is conditioned like that, things will like that. What is being shared also depends on the condition. That's why I say, if you don't create condition, Dhamma cannot flow. But when you create condition, Dhamma flow. No more question means no more question. We just let things be. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.